County. Your Honors, the Ralch Court erred when it... Yeah, I'll reserve 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
Yes. Thank you. The Ralch Court erred when it concluded that the statute required giving warnings regarding THC concentration in blood to a driver being asked to submit to a breath test to determine alcohol concentration. Suppression of a breath test requires that the defendant show that the implied consent warnings that were given were inaccurate and to demonstrate actual prejudice by the warnings. Here,
is this a suppression question or a foundation question?
It's a suppression. I believe it's a suppression question.
Does the state, in order to establish a foundation to have the test admitted, have to show compliance with the statute?
Correct. And the...
Can you show compliance when you leave out one prong of a two-prong warning?
Yeah, because the statute says that the warnings are to be given in substantial form.
What does that mean? Does that mean that you can vary words or that you can eliminate entire ideas?
I think you can...
You're arguing that it means you can eliminate an entire idea, right?
Correct.
Does it substantially the same if it eliminates an entire idea?
If that idea or that prong doesn't apply to the person who's being...
Where does it say that in the statute?
It doesn't specifically say that.
Again, it never has, right?
No, it never has. But the court has found that it's not necessary to give the exact words of the statute.
Well, yeah, that's the exact words. That's whether you can vary a word here or there, use synonyms. But there's nothing here that says that the officer should give the warnings that he thinks are in the best interests of the driver. At the officer in good faith. It doesn't say that.
So it's
substantially the same language.
It doesn't say that. But where the officer, where there's a section that doesn't apply to the driver. An example would be in a driver who's clearly over 21.
Where does it say that in the statute?
It doesn't say that. But I think the statute shows all the possible situations that an officer will meet with drivers. And that it gets it substantially that when a section doesn't apply to that driver, it makes sense not to give that warning.
What case says that?
There's no case on point that says that.
So the statute doesn't say that, and the case doesn't say that. And the wording of the statute says substantially the same.
Substantially. And that would be my argument. That substantially is that a section that doesn't apply to the driver doesn't have to be given.
If you're correct, why was it necessary for the legislature to amend the statute after the initial text?
They amended because the law then made specifically driving under marijuana with greater than a 5.0 nanogram amount, also a crime.
Well, that was a crime under the initiative.
Pardon me?
That wasn't a crime under the initiative.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so...
That's the reason was the warning, that the legislature has now amended the warnings to eliminate the marijuana crime.
Correct.
Why was that necessary if the troopers could make case-by-case decisions to whether or not to give that warning?
Because the warning applies to both blood tests and to breath tests. And so in a blood test, that language is necessary because the blood test can detect the THC concentration. A breath test cannot detect THC concentration. So advising someone who's taking a breath test that the THC concentration in their blood would add confusion to them because they're being asked to take a test that could not determine that.
Now, I understand that, but what it seems that you're doing here is you're saying, well, that the people through initiative declared what the officer should tell the driver. And what you're telling us is, well, that was meaningless with regard to this clause because it doesn't have anything to do with when you're looking for alcohol. And so that's meaningless. And then the way the statute reads as far as that clause is, that's meaningless. And then the legislature changes it. And with regard to the same circumstances, you're saying that's meaningless. Why would we construe a statute so that all of these things were meaningless?
They would be meaningless in this case where a driver was determined to be affected by alcohol, not by marijuana.
Are they meaningless in every case since the state patrol doesn't currently have a device that measures marijuana when it takes a breath test?
It would be meaningless in a breath test, but not in a blood test. If they're being asked to take a blood test, then it would have significance.
Are these warnings that are given to for a blood test in 308?
Yes, if they're asking for a blood test, they would give the same warning.
No, does 308 cover blood tests?
It in some circumstances where there is a serious injury or fatality, the practice now is to get warrants for all blood tests.
Well, what does the scope of 308 after the initiative cover blood tests?
Yes, it specifically talks about breath or blood tests.
But in terms of the, well, let me ask it this way. Do you have a right, so did you have a right to refuse a blood test?
If you're being asked for one, it's not being required by law. Yeah, the officer can ask for a blood test, but the person can refuse a blood test, or the officer can get a search warrant for the blood test. Under certain circumstances, you don't have a right to refuse a blood test.
The good. Now we'll revisit this in 10 minutes.
Thank you. There's this screen here doesn't say. Oh, that's yes, that one did.
Yeah, we don't have our shot clock today, so I didn't get my shot off in time.
So we're all flying blind. You're flying blind. We're not. Good morning. Thomas Kemmerer from the Washington Appellate Project, representing Mr. Robison. And I think the court's focused on the right fact here. The question is...
I understand that the state patrol decides whether to give the under 21 or over 21 prong of the warning based on the officer's determination of the age of the practice.
That's my understanding, yes.
Why is that okay?
You know, I don't know. Certainly it seems to me that the way the case law has come out, it's very clear that the way the language doesn't have to be exactly like the statutory language, but it can't be so different that it leaves out portions of the statute or what the statute requires. So I'm not entirely sure why the trooper or the police officer gets to make that decision on their own anyway. We don't know.
Is the legislature deemed familiar with that when it amended the statute?
Sure. But once again, our case law says it doesn't have to be the exact language of the statute, but it can't leave portions out like this particular portion where it talks about alcohol concentration of the blood or THC concentration. Well, if you step away from that, that in the commercial driver's license portion are fairly simple to exempt. Either the person's under 18 or they're not.
Well,
either a person has a
marijuana or it doesn't. That's not a very difficult problem.
Well, it is if the individual doesn't know that that's the case. I mean, apparently everyone knows that you can't test THC concentration through a breath test. But I don't think the average person on the street would know that, where if you're going to talk about age or commercial driver's license is also very easy. You either have one or you don't. But your average person on the street, I don't think, understands that a breath test will not test for THC concentration.
So you tell them that there is a breath test, and if you get a certain level with marijuana, you have a result, even though everybody except the person being that knows nobody's testing it.
I don't know that everyone, but certainly everyone within the system knows, yes. Yes, yes. But once again, we have the drafters of the statute saying THC concentration, breath test for THC concentration. Why do the troopers or the police officers get to exempt that?
Well, under the case law, the Supreme Court case law seems very clear that that there's no discretion to alter the plain language of the implied consent warning if you look at Bostrom.
Okay, there you go. So, I mean, the implied consent waiver statute here says breath test, THC concentration. So if you can't alter it.
Let's move to the remedy. State versus Storhoff, the Supreme Court says we don't suppress evidence for minor procedural irregularities, and says that that's what they said in Bosper. Why doesn't Storhoff control?
Well, you've got Trevino out there.
Well, which... Trevino, there was no warning. It's pretty simple to say there's a difference between no warning and a warning where the trooper exercised some discretion.
I would beg to differ that no warning or an inaccurate or incorrect warning is much similar. And so you don't have a Storhoff situation, you've got a Trevino situation.
Inaccurate. You're saying it's incomplete, but it really wasn't inaccurate.
It's inaccurate as far as the statute goes.
So
it's
your argument is that it's analogous to no warning because it wasn't given.
Exactly. So my argument is Storhoff doesn't control, Trevino does, and we don't have to show prejudice.
Normally the Supreme Court doesn't overrule a case without mentioning it.
Exactly. But you've got these two cases, Storhoff, which says you've got to show some sort of prejudice, simple irregularity is not enough. And you've got Trevino, which talks about, as the court is aware,
no warning.
What was
the argument in Storhoff, though? What constitutional principle was at issue?
Well, I don't think it was a constitutional principle.
Well, I think it was. I mean, because the Supreme Court says it was. It says it was a due process.
But
it had to do with the notice that was given.
Right, and I think the big deal in Storhoff was talking about the difference between administrative hearings and criminal matters, because up until then there was a difference, no prejudice in criminal matters.
Is this a due process notice challenge?
Well, certainly our argument is that because the statute requires that particular notice in order to give the person all the information they need to make a decision about whether to take a test or not. So certainly that's our argument, that it goes to notice.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, it's a statutory argument, clearly, but it's a statutory argument as far as notice, that you have to give correct notice.
So you're not making a constitutional argument.
No, this does not raise a constitutional issue. It raises strictly a statutory issue. So unless the court has any other questions, our argument is pretty simple. The statute requires that the person be advised of the breath test for the THC concentration. It wasn't given here. The trooper didn't have the authority to omit that portion. The argument is under Trevino that we don't have to show prejudice. And so we would just ask this court to affirm the Rawls Court's decision. Thank you.
Oh, it doesn't do the beeping either.
Well, I think it comes down to the second prong of that the defense has to show is the prejudice. And prejudice.
Well, let's talk about that. The Gonzalez and the criminal case, I can't remember the name of it, that was decided the same day as Gonzalez. Those cases dealt with when warnings in the statutory language were in fact given, but language was added, and the court required a proof of prejudice resulting from the added language. The added language was at your own expense, and it did not appear in the statute. Has there been any state Supreme Court case that has required a showing of prejudice when language was not added?
There's cases where words were changed and said may instead of shall. I don't know.
That's the substantially. I'll go with may, shall, whatever on the substantially similar argument. I'm talking about is there any case that's required prejudice when the statutory language other than when the statutory language was given, but language was added? In other words, when the cops made something up to add.
I can't think of one where they deleted language.
Okay, what's the principle that would allow a court to vary a requirement of a statute to exclude the or to eliminate the necessity of saying words that are required to be said by the statute. Are you saying that that's because it would be an absurd result not to do that?
It would lead to confusion. The purpose of the implied consent warnings are to enable the driver to make
courts,
a informed consent.
Courts talk about what the purpose is, and then they've done that, and that's great. But the people went out and voted. There was an initiative. It was in all the papers. It's really important. And they voted, and they said, in this circumstance, you're going to say these things. And that happened after all of these cases that talked about whatever the purpose was. So what's the principle of construing a statute that would allow us to say, you don't have to do that?
To avoid the confusion, because a driver who was stopped.
The court rejected that in Bostrom. The court expressly rejected State v. Pryor, where the court has said that the statutory warning can be modified if the warning denies the person the opportunity of exercising intelligent judgment. That's a Supreme Court. That's not a division of our court. We're sort of stuck with that.
Well, I think in this case, telling the driver, like a driver who had smoked marijuana, that he's going to be tested and implying that they're going to test for marijuana. If he had, let's say, he had one drink, he knew he was under the limit on alcohol.
No, I understand what you're getting at. Why can't the people of Washington go out and vote and say, that's exactly what we want to have happen? We want to have you say this every time. Why can't they do that?
They can, but I think that
and would didn't talk, they?
They said that driving under a level of marijuana was a per se crime.
Yeah, and they amended 308 to say, and you're going to say this every time. Again, free American election. This is what you're going to say. Why can't they do that? I mean, you want us to hold that they can't do that. That's really what you're getting at, that the people couldn't take that vote and have it be meaningful, to require that be said. Why not?
My argument is that they could, when they...
No, I'm telling you what your argument is. You tell me why that makes sense, because that's what I see in your argument.
In that same statute, they said, in substantially this form, and substantially would allow the officer to take out language...
To eliminate entire ideas.
That don't apply to the
in the officer's judgment. Well, it's all up to the good graces of the executive branch.
Which what the officer does with the 21 and the commercial drivers, takes it out, so that not to confuse the driver.
Thank you, counsel.
The state would ask you to reverse the Rawls Court. Thank you.
Next case.